So let's open up right away to Psalms 23. Many of us have heard and read this before, but today I want you to connect to it. Psalms 23 is something by King David who, if you know the history of King David, his whole life he was in a battle. You ever been in a battle before? His whole life, even when he did right, things were challenging him as if he was guilty. He was wrongly accused. He was wrongly persecuted. He made his own mistakes in addition to being wrongfully accused. But in it all, God looked at him and declared, "This is a man after my own heart. This is somebody that I can be in relationship with." So he wasn't separate from God because he had made a mistake in which he did. He wasn't separated from God because he had challenging circumstances around him in his life. But he was connected with God in his daily expression and his daily faith that he walked with all the way until he left the earth. And so I just want to spell out, even as Kalen, again, I'm so happy he was reading for us, to show how hard sometimes things are, but yet God is in it. Sometimes we feel like it's when it's easy, it must be God. And there are things that are easy. We know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And what that means is in the relationship with God, as we're yoked together doing a work, walking with God and working with God, what we can't do, he has the power to do. But it doesn't mean that he won't lead you in places where there's challenge. Because oftentimes in your greatest challenge is when you'll see God the clearest. Everybody loves the story of footprints in the sand. We read this oftentimes, and it's the idea that there was footprints on the beach, and you can see them in the sand, and somebody was being shown their life, and they could see God's footprints and their footprints, and they had been walking with God, and they could understand and see clearly, I can see God was with me right here. And they go to a place where the two footprints are the only ones there, and there's not four footprints. It means that there's only one person now doing the walking, and it looks like it was the most challenging times of their life. And so the person speaks to God and says, "Why is it when it got the toughest and most challenging for me, I had to walk alone?" And we know the story goes on to tell us that the Lord answered and said, "You didn't walk alone, but that's when I carried you." There is a place in God where he will lead you, guide you, and he will carry you. There's a place in God where he will lead you, guide you, and carry you. There are places that we're believing to go. When I leave this body, I am instructed that I'm going to be absent from this body, this physical body, but present with the Lord, which means the real Brandon Rainwater, the real person who I am, is prepared to go on a journey that I can't walk. I'm going to have to be brought there. I'm trusting that God's going to carry me to a place that I can't get on my own. And I know this body is going to return to the earth, but my born-again spirit, which was born from above, is going to go to where I was born from. I'm going back with Daddy. And how I'm going to get there is the faith I have that God is going to lead me there. And so we're going to read Psalms 23, even as David went through all the challenges that he did. He always had a prayer and a praise in him. He wrote the Psalms, which is the longest book in the whole Bible. He wrote Psalms 119, which is the longest chapter of any book of the Bible. And he wrote all of these to be part of his worship. And he would worship when he's being chased by armies. A whole army, imagine a whole nation of an army coming for you. And you taking the time to give God some praise while the army is chasing you. Lord, I just want to thank you today. And this was his relationship. And we read it. And sometimes we like how it sounds, but we have to connect to it. So today we're going to connect to Psalms 23. So they've put Psalms 23 on the board starting at the first verse. We're just going to read all the way through. And if you would read with me, I would appreciate it. You know, I put Kalen on the spot. I just recently asked him if he would do those readings. And if you ever handed a book you've never read before and say, "Hey, read two chapters of it," that's tough public speaking, isn't it? Especially when there's Indian names in there and places you've never even heard of before. And so he did an awesome job. I can just already imagine Kalen reading to his children. I can already imagine that. And his kids won't care if he mispronounces any word. His kids won't care. They'll remember that dad read to them. That's what they'll remember. All right. We're going to read together. Ready, read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever 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 and ever. We are going somewhere where we will remain with God forever and ever and ever. And with the focus and understanding that God is leading me to a place forever and ever, it really makes my struggle seem so short. Life is like a vapor that just is here today and disappears tomorrow. Life is like a drop in the bucket. It's here and it's gone on this earth, in this body. But life with God is forever. And so as I concentrate on life forever, the season of struggle or challenge I'm in today is small. But if I don't look forward to the eternity with God, the forever and ever and ever, if I don't look forward to that, it seems like this is all there is. It seems like there's nothing else but the struggle and the challenge. It seems like there's nothing but this loneliness or this anger or this hurt or this frustration. It seems like this is going to be forever. And so then, because it feels like it's going to be forever, within my own works and with my own doings, I'm going to try to find a way in my own ability to change it or fix it or get a different portion. And what I find out that all I can do is work another temporary situation. Even if I work it for good within my own works, that's temporary. That's just a season. Because life comes at you with things that you didn't plan for. Life greets you day to day with things that you didn't gear up for. But David figured something out in the midst of all of his struggles. He trusted and knew for sure that every day he woke up in the presence of God. And so you have to catch this. I don't care what I'm going through today. Right on my trail, goodness and mercy are right behind me. They're going to show up any moment. Because I'm walking with the God who got my back. I have to know that. I make a mistake. I do something. I just feel, I can't believe I did it. You know what? Goodness and mercy are on my heels. So I can hold out the feeling, the frustration. I can hold out right here. Because my God's coming through for me. And this is just a drop in the bucket for the eternity in which he has planned for me. You have to be able to see things for how small they are. And they only become small when you go to where God is and look back at it. You've heard me say many times, when you're in an airplane and you look down, you start coming down where you're going to arrive in Seattle, and they tell you it's 56 degrees and raining, surprise, surprise. But you look down and you can see that you're going to arrive at 5:30 rush hour, and you see all the cars moving on I-5, and you're looking at all of them, and you can't identify what types of car they are, and it doesn't matter what types of car they are, because they're all on the same road in the same traffic, and regardless if they're in a limousine or a broken down Datsun, they're on the same road in the same stuff. And sometimes we feel like if we're in the Datsun, oh, it's just a horrible situation. But from God's perspective, it doesn't matter whether you're in the Datsun or the limo, you're stuck in that situation. So don't be comforted by the limo. Be comforted by the God who promises. If you walk with him, goodness and mercy are right behind you. The idea, you know, it's a trick. There's an idea that everybody's trying to arrive somewhere. If I go to school this long, then I can get this degree, I've arrived. And then when you get the degree, you realize you didn't arrive to nothing. You realize you got a degree with a lot of confusion of what you should do now. So then you go get the job and you think, if I just get the job, I'll be there. And then you get the job and you wonder, is this it? And then you think, if I get the boyfriend or girlfriend or the husband or the wife, then you get that and then you look at each other. Because you find out you haven't arrived. You've just gotten to another step. And all of those steps that I mentioned were good steps. They're not bad steps, but they're not arrival. And we're disillusioned as if we're just trying to hurry up and arrive somewhere. You're not trying to hurry up and arrive anywhere. What the whole idea of giving thanks for is when you can, regardless of where you are on the road, say that God is leading you and with you. This is supposed to be the arrival, that he arrived in your life. If he arrived in my life, then I'm where I need to be right now, even if it's tough. If God is with me, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. If God is present, where do I want to arrive to? If he's here, where do I want to go? If God is with you, I shall not want. I said we have to connect to this. We read it, but you have to connect. Because this was power to David. This was joy to David. This was peace to David. This was hope to David. David got to a point in his life, and I don't know if this was the lowest place, but this was definitely one of the lowest places of his life. He had a great victory where he was the one that killed Goliath. All of my zoo kids, do you guys know who Goliath is? You guys know who he is? How big was he?
9 feet tall.
He was 9 feet tall. Well, if you figure Pastor Brandon is 6'4¾". I won't let that 3/4 go. I just will not let it go. They always ask, are you 6'5"?
Oh, yeah.
I say 6.
Yeah.
Well, my hair now, yeah. But as tall as I can go, even if I put my hair another foot.
No.
Goliath was so much bigger. He was so much bigger. David was just a young person. He was in his teens when he faced Goliath. Which means, adults, raise your hand. None of the people raising their hands helped the situation. Only the young person helped the situation. Only the young person. That's why I'm trying to tell our young people, we're looking for you. We're looking for you to let God use you, because anything's possible if you will. So Goliath, being so big, And David, being a teen, he comes on the scene, and this is what he knew. He said, listen, God's with me, and I'm with God, and I'm on God's side. As long as I fight on God's side, even if you kill me, I win. It's not a matter of how strong you are. It's a matter of, God, is this what you want me to do? And so he told the big giant something that was so wise. He said, this battle that you're trying to take on with me, it's not even my battle. This battle is God's battle. And as long as I leave it to be God's battle, he's going to beat you. I want you to see everything in your life. If you'll let it be God's battle, he'll win. He won't lose. I just promise you, he won't lose. But when you make it your battle, oftentimes you'll cut the God who's trying to lead you off, and you'll lead the battle, which wasn't your battle to start. It wasn't your battle. And so how can I make sure I'm not battling where I shouldn't battle? And so King David came to the understanding, I have to make this announcement. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. If I'm always following God, I'll never fight the wrong battle. As long as I follow God, I won't fight the wrong battle. So the Lord is my shepherd, so that I will not get into a fight I can't win. But if he leads me, any fight that he introduces me to, I can win because it was his fight as the shepherd. Is God leading you? Is he leading you? Is he leading you? Well, then this battle, I want you to just say, this battle is not mine, but the Lord's. Just say it. That feels good to me. But after he won this great battle, it seems like everything was wonderful. It says that the ladies were screaming. Can you imagine being a teen heartthrob? What David was. You think Justin Bieber was a heartthrob? This is what they said about David. They said, oh, King Saul can kill 1,000, but David, 10,000. He had them twirling and whirling. Listen, they were dancing for a young idol long before what we got going. And you could just see the girls, you know, writing in the scrolls, me plus D equals heart. Right? King David was, that must have felt real good. But the minute he got to this great height, God had blessed him, the king turned on him and used all the resources of the kingdom to pursue and kill David. Can you imagine going from that high to that low that fast? So is life. The minute we think we've arrived, we realize we're just on the way. And it's the same question every time we face a new challenge. Is the Lord my shepherd? It's the Lord my shepherd. Because if he's your shepherd today, you can say, thank you. Thank you. You can prophesy about tomorrow, goodness and mercy. You can declare things. So I just want us all to declare, goodness and mercy are following me. Right now. Right now. They're on assignment. You know why? Because where God is, there's goodness and mercy. And so if he's leading you, it's not you earned goodness and mercy. It's goodness and mercy are part of who he is. And if you're with him, it's there. Don't earn goodness and mercy. Receive. And how do you receive it? Walking with God. So this King David found himself at one of his low points, getting captured by another kingdom, acting as though he was a crazy man, was spitting down his beard, it says, and acted as if he was out of his mind. And when the king looked at him, said, "This can't be the great King David who the women scream about. This is a madman. Get him out of my sight." And so they removed him. And then King David, only king in God's eyes at that point, went to a cave and hid in the cave. And he's just thinking, "I've just lowered myself to a madman. How low am I that I just have to, maybe I am mad." And sometimes in our cave is the place where we really wonder if goodness and mercy are really following us. You ever got to a place that just felt like, this seems like I don't see anything good being able to come out of it? What good can come out? But it was in that cave where God sent him some help. And in that cave, God sent 400 men to him. And the 400 men said, "You're our captain. You're our captain." Can you imagine at your lowest point, people hooking up with you and saying, "Okay, you're our captain"? And it would seem like, okay, if I'm going to be your captain, I need to suddenly get brave, or I need to suddenly do something, and I need to suddenly become something. But no, no, no. The only thing he had to do would say, "If I'm going to be your captain, follow me as I follow God." All he had to do to make sure he was going to be a good captain was to make sure he was following the Lord. So it put the emphasis where he could no longer just stay and lay in that place. But now he was required, because it was going to affect so many other people, that he choose to follow God in the middle of some of his biggest storms in his life. Life is measured by this. When it gets to its lowest point, do you choose to be with God? Because God has made it available that if we choose, nothing can separate us from him. So the Apostle Paul tells us that famine, sword, persecution, poverty, there's no situation that can ever separate me from the love of God. And if I'm willing to follow after God, regardless of outside circumstances, I know that I'm going on for an ever and ever and ever. He's bringing me to a place. So we saw the pilgrims. Come here, Tennessee, Naomi. And my wife. When the pilgrims decided that what they were facing, they were going to have to get out of their cave, and they were going to have to journey to a place that God was leading them. They prayed and fasted to make sure it was God's leading. They agreed. And because they agreed that it was God doing it, Tennessee, go sit down. When they lost the son on the journey, they said, "Thank you, Lord, for leading us where you know there's an ever and ever and ever." And then when they lost the next one, they said, "Lord, we just give you thanks today. You are good, and your mercy endures forever." And then when he lost his wife, or the wife lost the husband, they said, "Lord, we believe you are with us." And from that place, the nation in which you stand, we enjoy it. And we recognize it was definitely God that did it. It was definitely God that did it, because it was impossible to win the battles they won. But yet, it cost them something. And when we think it costs us our life, I want you to know that those children gained forever and ever. Amen. Would you rather die with an extra 10 years out of the presence of God, or die today in the presence of God? Would you want 10 years without him, or today with him? There has to come a place where you decide, the Lord is my shepherd, and whatever it costs me, I'm walking with him. I'm going with God regardless. And I'm bringing my family, I'm bringing my family with me, and they're going to be in the presence of God. And if death comes on the scene and it looks so horrible, I can testify and say, goodness and mercy are following me. I will see them again in the forever and ever in the presence of God. They are not cursed. They are blessed. God didn't forsake me. God did bless me. God did give me those children to steward, and I was a good steward with them. We're in a day and age now where tomorrow isn't promised like never before. We have to be mindful when we go to the mall or go to a movie. We have to watch where we go on the road. We have to look around us and understand that today could be the day. And it doesn't have to be a bad day if what the devil thinks he is going to win with actually ushers you into the forever and ever. So I just want to give God thanks for the mountains and for the valleys. Some of us have had many mountains and many valleys. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me to refreshing waters. He's bringing me to a place that I'll be fed and cared for. He anoints me, which means I'm one of His. I'm one of His. I'm one of His. You ever felt like your cup ran dry? Well, your cup is connected to a well that will never go dry, as long as the Lord is your shepherd. Jesus came to be this shepherd for us. But you have to know that now He said, I'm going to give you my Spirit, and He's going to lead and guide you. And so David was led by the Lord, and he knew he was the shepherd. Even as today, the Lord is my shepherd. But where is He? I don't see Him. How do I follow a God I can't see? The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and light to our path. So we follow Him in the truth. We follow Him as He's leading us in the Word. And you know what He says in the Word today? I heard Deacon put it up there. It says, give thanks in all things. For this is the will of God for you through Christ Jesus. So part of being led by God, if I'm going to follow God, I'm following God who said, give thanks in all things. Lord, I give you thanks. If you get fired from your job wasn't goodness and mercy. Your God was a means in which God could let you work what you work and have a level of provision, but the work wasn't your provision. God was your provision. So if you get fired from your job, I want you to do this. Lord, I give you thanks. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Let me tell you something about the economy. The economy is meant to constantly be up and down. It's built that way, and the profit margins are made in the movements of up and down. And so it's actually good in certain economies to bring on certain peaks and certain valleys for certain people who will profit in the ups and downs of an economy. But when you give all you have, like the pilgrims did, they removed all of their stuff from the safe economy of England and put it all into an investment of God leading them. Do you feel comfortable with the Lord being your shepherd, putting all that you have into Him leading you? God asked the rich young ruler to do it. The rich young ruler said, what must I do to have eternal life? I want the forever and ever and ever. I want to make sure I have forever and ever and ever. Make sure I don't miss it. Jesus, I trust you can tell me what I need to do. Jesus looked at him, said, well, you know what the law says. You want forever and ever? You know what you're supposed to do. He said, well, ever since I was a little kid, I've done it perfectly. So I just need you to tell me, yes, you're going to get it. You're going to have forever and ever. And Jesus said, okay, listen, you really want to know? I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to sell what you got. I want you to give to the poor. And I want you to follow me. And the rich young ruler was sad, and he left and didn't do what Jesus said because he had great possessions. He had a lot of money, and he thought, he's going to mess up my economy if I follow him. So he preferred the comfort of his own economy than the Lord to be a shepherd. And for that, he wouldn't follow Jesus. He just wanted Jesus to say, forever and ever, you don't have to follow me. But I'm telling you, Jesus is gathering people that will follow him, and he'll be their economy. If Jesus is your economy, it's a good investment. I'm an investment strategist, just so you know. And I believe in wise investing. And the greatest investment we have is whatever the cost is to follow the Lord. Some of us have investments that stop us from following the Lord. I can't because of this. I can't because of that. I know what you're saying, but I can't do that. You know, Adam was the first to talk about bad investing. He said, this woman you gave me a bad investment. God says, you stewarded your investment poorly. I'd put you in charge of that investment. God wants everybody here to make a decision today that regardless of what comes towards us, that we'll follow him. I'm so thankful again for bold leadership. Apostle Jesse and Linda Rainwater, my parents who founded this church over 21 years ago, I've seen them hit such highs where everybody celebrated and such lows where nobody wanted to be connected to their name. And I watched them follow God through it all. Because the Lord is their shepherd. And I know goodness and mercy are following. And so that's when I went to Dad when he was in a cave and said, you're my captain, just like they did for David. And so I followed after him as he follows after Christ. I like following a strong leader that will follow God regardless of who comes. But what you'll find as you start following God, he'll send people. And he'll require you to not only look after your own good, but to help provide for them as they follow for Christ. That's why I mentioned these young people being here today. Every person in this room, God loves you so much that he gave all he had for you. And he offers all that he has to you. There's nobody here that made a mistake yesterday, this morning, or even last minute, that God cannot become your shepherd. Even if you've already confessed him your shepherd, maybe you stopped following him. Nothing has stopped you, or you haven't gotten to such a place, or you haven't reached a cave, or there's not a challenge, there's not an army or an enemy that can stop God from showing up in that cave and saying, follow me. And as you follow him, then you confess and you make your confession known. Goodness and mercy are following me. Don't declare, it never works for me. Don't declare, just seems like trouble's always following me. Maybe that's how it used to go, but now that you're following the Lord, there has to be a new voice and a new sound. Amen. There has to be some rejoicing and thanksgiving. Because it's not about arriving somewhere where your troubles are over. It's about being with God. And God is perfect in everything he does, which means he'll be perfect in your life for you. So we're going to do something wonderful. We're going to take communion together. We're going to close out the service with a worship song together, and then we're going to go right into the lobby and break some bread together. You see how much time I'm giving you for the Seahawks? I thought way ahead. And let me help you out. So I should have done it at the beginning of service. Let me do it again. Lord, bless the Seahawks in their health, in their focus, in their unity. And Lord, let those that can do what they can. Amen. All you can ever ask for is someone to do what they can do. God's never asked for you to do more than you can do. But you'll find that when you're with him, you can do more than you originally thought. You can change your family. How do you change your family? Not by changing them, but by being the seed that gets planted in the family to bring change. You'll find that change with God always starts with you. It's not always trying to make your kids better so that it's good. It's God will make you better to bless the kids. God's dealing with each of us today, so as we take communion, I want you to take a moment to just reflect and to give God, out of your own mouth, your decision whether he is your shepherd, whether you will follow him, whether you're willing to pay the price to follow him, whatever it costs you, knowing that you're going to receive from a king's portion. And not just a king, but the King of Kings. Not just a king, but Lord. Not just a Lord, but God, creator of all things. And forever, he has been planning everything he has for us. And that's where he's bringing us to. But everything God has for us is best summarized in him. It's best summarized as God's presence. If anybody here is heartbroken, you have to be willing to give that broken heart as an offering to God. If anybody here is ashamed because they've done things they're not proud of, you have to be willing to give that as an offering to God and trust him with it. Say, Lord, I give you my shame. If anybody here is just scared, Lord, I give you my fear. Because God is present today. And he doesn't want anybody to walk out of here without him being their lead. So as we take that moment, when you're ready, I just want you to tell him out of your own mouth, Lord, I choose to make you my shepherd today. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't disqualify me, but you qualified me. I thank you that you bring me to the places where I need to be, and you empower me to do what I need to do. I trust you that goodness and mercy are following me. Lord, I thank you that you'll never leave me or forsake me. And even when I don't understand where we're going or what we're doing, I can trust you if you're present, Lord. And so I ask you to continue to reveal by your Spirit to me that you are present with me. Speak to me. Answer my calls. And Lord, lead me forever and ever and ever. Amen. At this time, if they can go ahead and hand out one for each person. Parents, if you want your children to take it, I'm more than happy to have communion with them. Choir can come forward. If you see people moving, that's the choir. And as we take the communion, we're going to sing a song. It's a very simple song, but it's a deep song. The song says, he is my peace. When the Lord is our shepherd, he's also our peace. I don't want you to go try to get a job to get peace. I don't want you to be sad for 3 weeks because you made a mistake to prove to God how bad you feel to get peace. I want you to receive peace today as he offers it. The Lord is our peace. And I'll instruct us all together. We'll take the communion together. It is only grape juice, so the kids are good. But if you have it, just wave at me so I know you have yours. Does everybody back here have one? I make a challenge to you. This Thanksgiving, I want you to start a new tradition, or maybe you've already done it. Whoever's present at wherever you are for Thanksgiving, I want you to record 5 things that each person, including the children, are thankful for. 5 things. And I want you to record it and write it down, and I want you to put it on something that you can keep. And next Thanksgiving, I want you to break it out. And I want you to read it And I want you to ask for 5 more things. And I want you to make this a tradition that keeps going, that everybody gets to express what they're thankful for. And one of the things you will see over history, sometimes we're thankful because we got a new car, we got a new relationship, we got over time, you're thankful for these things, but you'll start finding the thread will be, I'm so thankful that God. And it won't be about the car, and it won't be about this, but it'll be about the fact that you can see, weaved between all of you, that God has been there the whole time. Even as he's here now. Is there one more for me? So Jesus, at the Last Supper, as we open the first layer, he told them, taking bread, he said, "This bread is my body, and I give it to you. I'm giving you myself. I'm giving you my life. And I want you to take me in and connect to me, not just by, oh, okay, Jesus is good, but I want you to actually take me into yourself." And so he said, "This is my body," and he broke it, so we break. "This is my body that's broken for you." Jesus went through pain, trouble, even though he was innocent. But he did it so that you wouldn't have to pay this price. And he said, "I do this for you. When you get together, I want you to do this in remembrance of me." So he said, "Take the bread and eat in remembrance of me." So we eat the bread. And then he took the wine and said, "This wine is the wine of the new covenant. This wine is the blood of Jesus, which he gave on the cross. And he gave it so that he could become your shepherd, not on the outside, but on the inside." And so he gave and said, "I'm giving you this. I want you to follow me in this. I want you to drink in remembrance of me in the new covenant, in Jesus' name." And now we pray, "Lord, I thank you for giving us communion with yourself. Not a king who's far off, but a God who's present with us. And that you will lead us and you'll talk to us because you are in us and we're in you. We believe as we took on the communion bread and the wine of your blood, Lord. We just thank you that it was an offering in which you were happy to give, even as we give you an offering of thanksgiving today. And Lord, we just declare that you are our peace and that you've removed the veil and broken down every wall that was separating us before so that we can choose you today, in which we do out of our own confession. Lord, I choose you in Jesus' name. He is my peace.